Well, hello, my friends, and welcome to the worldwide broadcast of the Ted and Austin Brower Show, bringing you the latest world news and health research. Hope you guys are having a fantastic day today. Hope you guys are staying up to date on the Brower Show and all of the updates we have via email. Make sure you're signing up so you get them sent right to you every single day via Team Health Masters and the Brower Show. Name, first name, last name, email, subscribe. We'll send it right to your email inbox every single day and keep you updated. And be sure to check out the product of the week, the Ultimate Multiple Powder. On sale. Y'all love it. We love it. Everyone loves it. What, you got GHI cleanse over there?
I did. I put a scoop of that in there today.
Our customers will thank you for not teeing it before.
Well, no, I've gotten so many complaints because I ting my glass.
Apparently, it's really loud in the mic.
It hurts my ears because they turned the volume up.
Mics are sensitive.
Rich, did we get Austin's microphone right volume now?
Yeah.
Test it, Austin.
Tested 1, 2, 3.
No, do it right.
Check, 1, 2, 3.
We got some people were telling us Austin's mic was overpowering me. It is what it is.
It is what it is.
I think we fixed it. Let us know.
Possibly. You know, I saw earlier, you know, this whole thing with this strategic bombing run, and Trump now pretty much came and says Iran and Israel ceasefires both been violated.
Why, who does he think he is saying they have to stop shooting each other? They like killing each other. This is terrible.
I think because we just showed the entire world that we'll do a strategic airstrike anywhere at any point in time and nobody will know about it. And pretty much we are the biggest dogs on the block and stop fighting, stop bombing each other.
Well, what he has here is a couple of kids.
No, it is.
They're fighting.
He's got two children that he's watching. He says, stop. Stop. You guys are not going to fight anymore. If you guys fight anymore, I'm going to slap both of y'all in the face. He said here, post a message on social network declaring, Israel, you are not going to attack Iran anymore. All your planes will turn around and head home while doing a friendly plane wave to Iran.
Remember, he said this to Zelensky, too, remember, and to Putin, remember?
Nobody will be hurt. The ceasefire is in effect. Thank you for your attention on this matter. At this point in time, I feel like it's just, we got a comedy show.
We do have a comedy show.
But but here's the thing. We do have a right to tell everybody what they're going to do when we start giving them money. And we're using our bombs.
No, we don't. No, we don't.
We do.
No, we don't.
We do.
No, we don't.
We tell anybody what we want.
Nope. They don't have to listen to us.
The B2 will bomb anybody they want. Obviously, we saw that airstrike.
I was on with Dave Hodges yesterday.
Well, how'd that go?
It was funny.
Was it?
He's all pro. He's pro of getting rid of the Iranian, you know, nuclear threat. And I said, I don't believe there's any really nuclear threat. I mean, they're looking for the missing uranium.
Whatever. Yeah. Rich uranium. Well, Saddam Hussein.
Okay.
And that way said it was already moved all the way out.
Well, I quoted James Trafficking yesterday to him on the show. So if you guys, you know, I'm going to say a bad word. I said a bad word on his show yesterday, too. And it's not that I'm saying a bad word. I'm quoting James Trafficking. He was very clear. I mean, he basically told Sean Hannity. He said, the United States is Israel's bitch.
Whoa.
Now, that's his quote. And he said they control both houses of Congress, dual Israeli citizens. And Dave and I talked about that. And so here's what I told Dave. You guys listened to the show yesterday. It was a fun debate. It was fun. We were going back and forth. Finally, he said, well, if they don't do it, we tell them to do it as far as rich uranium. This is loose, sloppy paraphrase. We just need to get rid of it for them. I said, you're right. I think we need to kill everybody.
Equal bombing for everyone.
No, I said, well, no, we might as well kill Germany, too. They don't listen. How about England? They're stubborn, man.
We have the military force to do it.
I started listing all the different countries. I said, yeah, we need to go and kill everybody in Syria, in Lebanon, in Egypt, Somalia.
New Zealand, too. They haven't done anything, but might as well pick on them.
Who?
New Zealand.
Oh, they got to go.
They got to go.
they took the people.
That's a joke.
Stop.
No, this is the humor, though.
No, you see it.
Yeah.
And I'm serious. I can't. We need to kill everybody. Anybody who disagrees with our policies, we need to blow them off the face of the earth and kill them. All of them need to die. I don't think. I said, oh, no, we have to kill everybody. You want to go kill the people in Iran? We need to kill everybody. I mean, Gaddafi warned us. You take me out of Libya, you're going to have an open conduit into Europe. And all these immigrants are flying in. Oh, we don't care. We're killing you anyhow. And we did. So now he's dead. Now we've got millions and millions of Muslim sleeper cells. And that was the thing that Dave was so concerned about yesterday, are the terrorist sleeper cells.
Oh, it's a very serious issue.
Oh, and he is right about that.
He is right about that a lot.
Because what
these
we do,
people hate America.
What we did is we opened the doors to 20 million people from every country in the world, pretty much.
After we bombed their country into a dirt hole.
Yeah.
Remember that?
Oh, yeah.
We did it with Iraq, Afghanistan, Syria.
Well, no, that's what I told Dave.
We blew their country up. Then we said, well, come to the United States, we'll take care of
it. And I quoted General Clark yesterday on the show. And I said, the reality is, I said, Iran didn't attack us. So we don't have any right to jump on top of them and start banging on them.
Well, I said that yesterday. I said, if Iran decided to launch a nuclear attack on the United States,
they'd be vaporized.
Does anybody understand like where that would go?
Well, first of all, their missiles would never reach the U.S. because we have a shield around us, you know, with Star Wars. I mean, we did all with Reagan. So that's never going to happen. It's never going to get here. Plus, they don't have the strategic launch capability.
No.
They don't have ICBMs that can reach across
the
world.
They don't even have space-based weapon platforms. We would put the thing down before it even got off the ground.
Yeah, so I mean,
it wouldn't even get here.
You know, Fred Bell was on Jesse Ventura's show a few years ago, about 15 years ago now, and that's when he had a conspiracy theory. Good show, by the way. You know, then he was talking about, you know, space-based weapon platforms and systems, and Jesse Ventura asked him, "So are these things really?" He goes, "Oh yeah, they really." So we developed them, and he said, Fred Bell was apparently involved with the production of it, and he says every once in a while they have a problem with one, they have got to call me up, and I help them fix it. He goes, "But we have the ability to lay waste to entire regions from space with scalar weapons," and I thought to myself, "Wow, you know, this is old technology." But then at the end, all of a sudden, here's the problem. We're going to use, because, you know, 9/11, remember when 9/11, Judy Wood wrote a book, Where, W-H-E-R-E, Where Did the Tower Go? She was a particle physicist, and I think she was at Clemson at the time, and she was one of the best books I've ever read on 9/11, as far as using a space-based weapons platform to basically microwave the towers.
They're very real. Space-based weapon platforms are systems designed to operate in orbit around the Earth, potentially for military purposes. It restricts certain deployments of weapons of mass destruction in space. There's ongoing development discussion about what types of space-based weapons we use because it's classified. I mean, they don't even try to hide it. It's right there.
We spent hundreds of billions of dollars for Star Wars. Probably trillions now. And Fred Bell was so funny. He was talking about this, right? On Jesse Ventura's show and said, you know, we have the ability to do all this. And then all of a sudden, you know, the show was taped. And before the show was live, Fred Bell was dead.
That's a fact.
He's dead. Heart attack. Okay. And then the sad part about it is that you have to ask yourself a question, and because Jesse Ventura asked him, are you not scared about talking about this? He goes, oh no, sometimes they need me. They got to call me up. And
yeah.
I guess they didn't need him that bad. But he's gone. You know, and so you think about it for a second. You say, well, why in the world did this happen? Well, it happened because of the Soviet Union threat, supposedly under Ronald Reagan, as far as getting rid of the USSR and basically building a platform in space that would intercept missiles and have the ability to attack countries from outer space. You know, they've got the rods of God. Those are tungsten rods. They drop out with kinetic energy.
Those are insane.
Now, here's a question you got to ask yourself. Okay, here's the deal. Tungsten is exceedingly heavy. It's like lead. These things are the size of like telephone poles. How in the heck did they get that into outer space with the weight of the thing?
Kinetic bombardment weapon concept involving dropping tungsten rods from orbit to strike targets on Earth with immense force.
We don't make this stuff up. Here it is. And they hit like with a nuclear explosion.
Yeah.
You know, Dave and I talked about that yesterday on the show. And so we've got all of this stuff going on that we can use. But now if we start dropping kinetic rods onto a nuclear missile silo or a weapons system basically in Iran, suddenly we throw all of our cards on the table and say, here's our stuff.
That's exactly right. B-2's old school. It really
B2,
is.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. But I mean, how do they get, well, they had to use some type of anti-gravity technology to get a tungsten rod platform into space. It's too heavy. It's heavier than lead. You know, and they're dealing with a space shuttle that can only carry X amount of weight. So all of this stuff, the technology they have is so far advanced past what they show us. You know, it was funny yesterday. I was reading all the stuff about World War One and Sarajevo and, you know, Archduke Ferdinand and how we got into World War, you know, One and all the rest of this stuff. And it says various alliances or treaties with different nations caused it. And it said, basically, it says imperialism is a concept that's been around for a long time in human history. Imperialism is the desire to build an empire for your country. And a lot of this was basically part of what happened in World War One. This is militarism, an arms race to destruction with Kaiser Wilhelm and all the rest of it. And then it said nationalism, pride, power, and the path to war. It says the final part of this is nationalism, is the idea that people should have the deep love for their country, even to the extent they are willing to die for it, Austin.
Yep.
And they still ingrained that into the Marine Corps.
Oh, yeah, they do.
They do. Throughout the 19th century, most countries had developed their own form of nationalism, where they encouraged a love of the nation and their citizens through the process of creating national flags and writing national anthems. Children at schools were taught that their country was the best in the world and that it should ever be threatened. They should be willing to take up arms and die to defend it. The growing nationalist movement created strong animosity between countries because every country thought they were better than the other country. A good example of this is a deep anger that existed between Germany and France. These two countries had a recent history of war and struggle over a small region between the two called Alsace-Lorraine. Germany has seized control of it after the Franco-Prussian War in 1871, and the French were mad. As a result, France believed that it should be willing to fight and die to take it back. In the two decades before World War I started, there was a number of smaller conflicts. All of this stuff starts off in these little small conflicts, Austin. And then it escalates. It
escalates.
And then another country gets involved, and another country gets involved, and all of a sudden, you know, Trump says, if anybody gives Iran, you know, a nuclear capability, you know, we will unleash the most deadly, you know, armament we have in the United States. He was referring to the nuclear submarines, which are really, those are some bad boys on the block.
Yeah, they are.
They are wicked deadly.
You don't even know they launch.
No. And I mean, they're under the water when they're launching.
That's my point.
You know, all of a sudden missiles start popping out of the ocean. How does that work, right? And I had a friend of mine who was in the Navy one time, and he actually saw them launch those missiles.
Launch one of them.
He said he's never seen anything like it before.
Oh, it's wild.
He said, all of a sudden, there's nothing there, and all of a sudden, these missiles pop out of the water, and then they ignite and shoot. And he said, it's unbelievable what happens when you see that. And he was talking about stuff he had seen back in the 80s. This is a long time ago, and we have stuff so far advanced from that now. But so he's threatening to basically unleash that. Well, he already unleashed that when he did this thing with Iran. They all launched a bunch of tomahawks from these nuclear subs.
That's
so
crazy.
We have the ability to be the bad boy on the block, and basically, I mean, we're the 500-pound bully that walks around with a set of brass knuckles and a 12-gauge shotgun, and everybody else is running around with, you know, BB guns. And so, you know, we're going to say, oh, you're going to do this. Well, guess what? You know, Donald Trump is doing what he's being told to do. Now he's pretending like he's mad because he did all this. He already knew in advance what was going to happen. He knew that there's no way that Benjamin Netanyahu, who's a career criminal, was going to listen to anything he said. It's like same thing happened. Remember, this happened in Ukraine. He's going to bring Zelensky.
This is pretty cool to watch this.
Watch this. Look at this. Boom, out of the water.
Out of the water.
There is no submarine.
It's right out of the water, bro.
Yeah, you know, so I mean, so yeah, they, you know, so
showing that.
Yeah,
I was trying to pull some footage up of it.
Yeah, look at that. Watch, boom.
Can you imagine being like in a charter boat,
fishing,
going for a marlin? All of a sudden, this thing just launches out of the water. You're like, oh crap!
Something just happened.
Something just happened. Somebody got pissed off.
And so we've got the ability to do. And look at this this group. Carrier group.
Oh, yeah.
They always run with escort ships. There's the boy
there.
Look at him blowing those ballast tanks. See him going down. I would actually like to be on one of those, you know, for a little while. I wouldn't really want to stay under the water for a year at a time.
It's a serious military force, man.
Okay. Time to do a easy, relaxing video to talk about. Now, I sent this video to Austin this morning. I saw it the other day. I thought it was pretty good. Now, what I want you to do is to realize is they're talking about people that are broken and people that are healed. Now, he mentions women, but the same thing holds true for men. Men get broken and they get healed. Everybody has to go through certain crises in their life. Everybody's got to have the ability to step in and do something, you know, for themselves sooner or later, or they stay broken, period. That's what God does. When God fills you with the Holy Spirit, he restores you. You get filled with the righteous peace and joy through the infilling of the Holy Spirit. I know right now sobriety today is in your face. People are everywhere saying, I'm so over, I won't drink. And they're walking around, you know, teetotally drinking water, etc. And they had been at one time alcoholics. There's a really good article from the Wall Street Journal that I'm putting in there. A lot of men and women both get broken on alcohol. They get broken on drugs. They get broken with bad relationships. And they get healed if they have the Holy Spirit in them in most cases. Or in some cases, they can go to a counselor who hopefully is a Christian counselor and have the ability at that point to be healed. So what we realize over a period of time is that there are a lot of broken people on the planet. and that there are a lot of people who need Jesus. I've spoken to so many people over the years that once they get involved with Christ, once they get involved with church, once they get involved with the communion and, you know, with the blood of Christ and all the rest of the stuff that we do as Christians, it changes their life and they get better. Years ago, I spoke to a lady after Sharon had died, and she was all wrapped up in drugs and all kinds of other stuff that she was doing, mushrooms, all kinds of stuff. And so I sat down and talked to her one day for several hours, and I talked to her about Jesus. And she became a Christian, got baptized. And now she's gone to the mission field working with Christ. Did you pull up? Mm-hmm. Okay. Go ahead and give us camera four, Rich. Got it. I want to show you this. Okay. And go ahead and you can put the microphone down like you hear that, Austin. Now, I want you guys to listen to this. This is a really good little link.
And this applies to everybody.
This is everybody. This is just women. Go ahead, play this.
Old, and there's the broken. And the truth is,
start over again. Boys.
There are two types of women in this world. There's the healed, and there's the broken. And the truth is, you cannot heal a broken woman.
God can.
If she's a healed woman, she is not going to be attracted to you unless you're strong. Not loud, not dominant, but anchored. This is one of the most important truths I can share with you. We attract what we are, not what we say we want. A healed woman in our world today, in this society, is very rare. She's a Valkyrie. She's an angel sent from God to bring you back home. She's soft, she's kind, but she's forging fire. Now, this type of woman doesn't criticize, she doesn't try to control you, and she's not a storm, she's a sanctuary. This is the kind of woman that you can trust to hold the rope when things get really hard, or to stand with you when everybody else leaves. And I think this is really important to note, that in Jesus' darkest hour, it was the women that stood by him when his disciples were hiding. And it's this type of Valkyrie woman that makes you more, not less. But today, this world is full of narcissists. They're trained to be validated, not virtuous. Yeah, they've been told that they've already arrived, that masculinity is toxic, and that femininity is weakness. And so they become critics, not companions. Queens with no kings, just a throne made out of ego. And here's the thing that you have to understand. A narcissistic woman will never love you. She will only love the things that you can provide for her. She's not a partner, she's a parasite. Men, get your shit together. Get your houses in order. Become the type of man a Valkyrie will be attracted to.
Yeah, I wanted to play that this morning because this applies to both men and to women. You know, if you want to be the right person and have the right person, you've got to learn how to be the right person.
That's a fact.
And that's why I talk to you guys continually about Christ, and I talk to you about Jesus and about being filled with the Holy Spirit and having the righteous peace and joy through the infilling of the Holy Spirit. And when we understand what we are, we're made in God's image, and the only thing that's going to fill that void on the inside is Jesus, and it's God. We understand that. Now, he's talking about Valkyries. That's something from Nordic mythology. What I'm talking about here is a woman that is healed by faith and grace through Christ. And the same thing with men. You can be healed too. You know, I would call that a Christian-based alpha male. You know, and basically love God with all of his heart and with all of his strength and with all of his soul. And he's willing to protect and die for his wife or for his woman. This is the kind of thing that we have to have. We have to have the ability to work together as a team if we're going to be with someone, period. And if we can't work together as a team, we can't support one another, all we're going to do is have conflict because everybody's going to want to take advantage of the other person. You can't have a 50-50 relationship, men and women. Listen to me. It won't work. Now, I was married for 38 years. That's a long time. And I had a great wife, and we were a team. Our entire marriage together, it was amazing. And if you have a team membership, you know, in a marriage like this, you know, relationship, not membership, what happens is you give each other 100% both directions. In other words, if it's really important to her, you take care of it. If it's really important to you, you take care of it. It's not a, you know, let's fight over who gets to control everything. It's 100% giving to one another and doing the best for the relationship. And that's what it's all about. You know, it's kind of like when you guys support Health Masters. You know, you support us. You get your multiple vitamins from us. You get your toothpaste from us. You get the GHI cleanse from us or whatever you're going to get from us. You're supporting the show. It's kind of like that. We give you 100% every single day. We don't charge you for paid content. We don't have that. We just give it to you for free. And then you support us back by buying your vitamins from us. And because you do that, we're able to continue to give you the content from the show. But I wanted to play that tape this morning, that video. It's really short. It was like 30 seconds because I wanted you to realize, guys, that when you're hurt or you're broken, both men and women, God can heal you. God can send forth his spirit and he can rescue you. I sent forth my word and I rescued from the grave is what it says in Isaiah. And if we have the love of Christ in us all the days of our life, we can walk in the healing blessings and the grace of God Almighty. Always remember that whether you're male or you're female, everybody's got to go through stuff when they're young. Everybody's got to deal with stuff. But guys, let God deal with the stuff for you. Let him carry it for you. And then realize that we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us, who continues to guide us and to teach us all the days of our life. But I want to share that with you this morning, because whether you're a broken male or a broken female, or you're healed through the grace of God, through the blood of this covenant that sanctifies you, whatever it is, always keep your hearts and minds on Christ Jesus. Awesome.
Well said. You know, and whether you're in the process of being healed, you're going through the process of it. You know, everybody's in different stages in their life. And that's kind of the part that I think he's talking about there, is you got to really look at it and analyze and address what you're looking for, but also to what you're producing and what you're providing. Because like he said, you're not going to attract what you want. You're going to attract what you are.
That's right.
Yes, that was very well said.
Well, you know, Roan said it this way, Jim Rohn, a good friend of mine. I listened to his CDs and tapes a long time ago. He's in heaven now. He said, basically, money doesn't make you happy. Okay. And see, a lot of people want to work for money all the days of their life, and they think it's going to make them happy, and it doesn't make them happy. And when they're not happy because they have money, suddenly they realize, I've got a friend of mine, her parents, they're atheists, and all they do is stay drunk all the time. Now, the wife supports the husband, has their entire marriage, and every single night they get drunk. And my friend said, I can't even be around them because all they do is stay drunk all the time. Wow. Now, here she's, this woman's making $500,000 a year, lives in a beautiful home, but they're so unhappy because they have to drink just to stop the pain.
Function.
And then she said that her mom is so mean until she's drunk.
That's horrible.
I've met people like that. Until they start drinking, they got a horrible personality. And it's sad because they don't have any peace and they're total atheists. This girl got saved a few years ago, and the parents disowned her because she got saved and got baptized. I mean, unbelievable stuff like that. And here's a quote from a famous guy one time. He said, when he was surprised about man and humanity, so what was the thing that surprised you the most? He says, man, because he sacrifices his health in order to make money. Then he sacrifices the money to try to get his health back. And then he's too anxious about the future. He doesn't enjoy the present. The result being that he does not even live in the present or the future. He lives as if he were never going to die and struggles to pay bills, etc. And then he dies, never having really lived.
That's sad, but true.
It's sad. And you know, health is important. You know, without health, nothing else matters. And you have to know how to appreciate the things of health. If you don't have health, you don't have anything. I had a friend of mine years ago contacted me. He had a billionaire friend of his in South Africa who was dying with cancer.
I remember that.
Remember this? And so he was going to go to basically a health facility and learn how to do natural stuff. And it was going to cost the guy with shipping and everything else about $15,000, this billionaire, to change his lifestyle, change his pattern, you know, and hopefully recuperate
Get
from
on
the cancer.
Supplements and change everything. Yep.
He refused to do it.
Yeah.
Too much money. Wait a minute. You're a billionaire. You know, you go to some of these clinics, you're going to spend $15,000 a week.
Yeah.
You know, you are. And a lot of them don't help you at all. They cause more problems than you end up dying of cancer. I've seen that too. So remember, take care of your health. It's a lot easier to prevent a disease than it is to get rid of it.
That's exactly.
It's a lot easier to stay healthy than it is to try to recover from cancer or heart disease or diabetes. It really is. Think about every single thing you put into your body, every time you put it into your body, and say, is this okay? What's it doing to me? Okay, is it right? Just think about it like that. Am I really going to eat this bread? I've got intestinal problems because the bread probably has glyphosate on it.
Yeah.
Do you really want the bread? Think about it. When you're in Europe, you can eat a little bit of bread because it doesn't have glyphosate. Here, it's all toxic.
If you're dealing with liver problems, you're trying to detox your liver, you really want to eat high fructose corn syrup.
How much
want to have a soda?
How much GHI do you want to drink every day? I try to drink it every single day. I told you, I have spots on my hands from all the sun. Gone.
2 to 3 shakes a day for full detox. I've had great results from numerous customers with that. 3 shakes, 2 scoops in each shake, 3 shakes a day. It'll clean you out quick.
And you know, and see, the thing about it is that, you know, if you take care of yourself when you're younger, when you're older, other people won't have to take care of you as quickly.
That's right.
you think about what I just said. I mean, you know, if you don't take care of yourself, all of a sudden you're 65 years old. I have a good friend of mine, great friend, chiropractor, neurologist. I talked to him yesterday, and he had a good friend of his die this week. I think the guy was like 62 years old. He's a mountain man, long hair. He blew a Confederate flag every day. His brother would come over and get mad that he was flying a Confederate
light
flag.
Fire.
And he'd get a ladder, climb the ladder, come along the pole, and light the candle, burn the flag. And
they put another flag up.
They just put another flag up. And, you know, but he died in his early 60s. You know, and my buddy's going to the funeral now. And the sad part about it is that, you know, a lot of folks, and I will say this very clearly, they don't know any better as far as what to eat or not to eat. They really don't, because they were trained to eat that way by their parents and their grandparents. Zig Ziglar had a funny joke one time. He goes, the woman was cooking her beef roast, and she cut the end of the beef roast off, and then she cooked the roast. And everybody was doing this all the time. They're cutting the end of the beef roast off.
Throw it away.
Yeah. And so finally, the guy goes, Mom, why do you cut the end of the beef roast off and throw it away? She goes, well, because Grandma did it.
Yeah.
Well, let's call Grandma up. So we call Grandma, and Grandma says, well, my mom did it. Great Grandma. Well, she's still alive. Call her up. Find out why we cut the end of the beef roast off. And they call her up and say, why do you cut the end of the beef roast off? She goes, my roasting pan's too small. It won't fit. In other words, there's nothing wrong with the end of the beef roast. But we basically learned to cut it all off because grandma, great-grandma did that.
She had a smaller pan 100 years ago.
Yeah, and that's the thing that people don't realize is don't allow yourself to get caught up into the same paradigm that you did with your parents and with your grandparents. Because they had health problems, because they did all kinds of crazy stuff like, I'm going to drink 3 quarts of Jack Daniels a day. It'll be good for me. No, it's not. It's horrible for you. It's going to harden your liver like a concrete block. Don't do stuff like that. You know, don't be eating Tylenol by like it's Rice Krispies. Don't be doing stuff like that. Realize that there's certain things, if you do it in moderation every once in a while, and I'm not talking about drinking a quart of Jack Daniels, whatever. If you do it every once in a while, then it's not that big of a deal. But you start doing that kind of stuff all the time, you're going to have all kinds of serious health consequences, and you're not going to live very long. A lot of the people in my mom's German beer tavern that we knew when we were kids started having all kinds of health problems, also in their 40s,
yep,
and dying in their 40s and 50s. I saw it personally. Hence, I'm so diametrically opposed to alcohol. Alcohol is an elevator. It only goes down. It really does if you do it on a regular basis. It's not a healthy option for your life. It's not. It increases the risk of pancreatic cancer, liver cancer, cirrhosis of the liver, alcoholism, osteoporosis, breast cancer. So if you know that alcohol is going to do that, why do you have to have that glass of wine with every meal? If you've gained 100 pounds because you've had a glass of wine with every meal, maybe you need to cut out the alcohol. Just saying. Just maybe, huh?
It'll pack some weight on you quick.
Well, because it stops the production of an enzyme called lipase, and it takes 4 days to get that enzyme going back up again. So if you have 2 glasses of wine a week, you're going to start gaining bad body fat.
Yep.
You know, and then you all of a sudden now you go, well, I don't smoke that much. I only smoke 2 packs a day. Okay, great. That's awful.
Nobody really smokes that much anymore, though. It's all vapes.
Well, same thing.
No, I know.
Nicotine.
And
put all those chemicals in the vapes. Yep. And then that's direct blood in, right into the blood infusion, right through your lungs.
Well, now the problem is with the vapes, everybody has the ability to do them all the time. You don't have to go outside and go to a smoking area and get ostracized for smelling like cigarettes when you come back in. You just hit the vape all
day long. You know, you're
right.
You used to go to Sam's or Walmart years ago.
Yeah,
and there was a
smoking
section outside.
They still
outside.
Do a lot of times. Like a little,
little table.
Yep, where you put the cigarette butts. They'll be out there in a smoke break.
Yeah.
No, now everybody sits there and hits the vape all day long. So you get continual nicotine hits all day long.
Well, if you know nicotine's a vasoconstrictant, it's going to age you really fast, and you get wrinkly in the face.
And it's hard on the cardiovascular system.
And it's hard on the lung tissue. That's what you get, the popcorn lung from it. It's super addictive.
Any form of nicotine, even smokeless tobacco.
Oh, yeah.
It doesn't mess up the lungs, it messes up the gums, your teeth will rot out, but it absolutely wrecks your cardiovascular system. I mean, you can feel, if you've ever used nicotine, you can feel your entire cardiovascular system contract when you get on the stuff. That's why your hands start getting real numb. You get that buzz feeling. It's because the blood flow is disrupted every part of your body. That's why you get that buzz, that kick from it.
That's why with the women who smoke and men who smoke, you know, and they start young, they age really, really,
really
fast.
Really quick.
They get fine line wrinkles everywhere. I remember I dated this girl named Stacy and in college. Beautiful girl. And she was smoking. And I kept trying to get her to quit. And she never did. You know,
and
I saw her about 8 years later when I was married to your mom. In fact, your mom and I were walking through a mall, Governor's Square Mall in Tallahassee. We ran into Stacy, and she looked like a doggone roadmap with wrinkles on her face. You know, she looked awful. Well, then Stacy discovered, you know, laser and cosmetic surgery and got herself straightened out, but she never stopped her smoking. Voice got real deep.
Yeah.
Died of lung cancer a couple of years ago. And I told her and told her and told her and told her. I said, you don't want to do this. You don't want to do this. But she didn't want to quit. She likes smoking. And so the sad part about it is, you think about it for a second, how many people out there do what they know they shouldn't do, Austin, in spite of the fact that they know it's going to wreck their health because they like it.
Because they like it. They don't want to stop.
They don't want to stop.
They still want to eat a quart of ice cream every night.
Yeah.
They still want to eat their high fructose corn syrup sodas 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 glasses a day.
Yeah.
They still want to drink their coffee at night. This is an article I want to cover here because this is something, you know, he brings this up a lot with caffeine usage at night. This is a new study that just came out. It said caffeine disrupts the brain's recovery during sleep, especially in young adults. They're showing here that actually caffeine late at night before bed disrupts your recovery. Interesting here. It says even when you manage to fall asleep after drinking caffeine, your brain doesn't truly rest. It stays locked in alert and active state. Caffeine is the most widely consumed psychoactive stimulant worldwide. The study published in Communications Biology found that caffeine increases what scientists call criticality in the brain, essentially keeping neural activity too active and chaotic during sleep, and it should be winding down for recovery. They said criticality describes a state of the brain that is balanced between order and chaos. It's like an orchestra. Too quiet, nothing happens. Too chaotic, just nothing, just chaos. And they said criticality is a happy medium where brain activity is both organized and flexible. And it discusses 40 researchers, 40 adults that researchers studied looking at what happened after they drank caffeine or used caffeine. Some of them went to bed with caffeine. Some had a placebo. The team found that caffeine made brain signals more dynamic and less predictable, especially during non-rapid eye movement. Study authors observed that caffeine reduced delta wave activity, which is closely linked to deep restorative sleep. So what they're saying is here, and young adults are hit the hardest, don't be using heavy stimulants later on in the day. Make sure even with the purple sticks, which this has green tea extract, so it's not even that aggressive.
It doesn't elevate cortisol.
But still, though, like, don't take one of these at 9 o'clock at night and then try to go to sleep. I know, I deal with it sometimes. Sometimes I do Hagman until 11 o'clock at night, and I'll run a purple stick. And I'll run one or two of them, 7, 8, 9 o'clock. I'm taking melatonin. I usually don't go to bed until 1 or 2 o'clock.
Yeah, absolutely.
What happens?
I used to do Jeff Rent and Hagman all the time, you know, the late
Jeff
shows.
Prince, like midnight.
Oh, my gosh. It was one time I almost fell asleep on a show because I didn't want to take a purple stick.
Yeah.
Finally, I asked him, I said, can you move me to the 9 o'clock hour? I said, this is just unbelievably hard on me to do this because he's out in California. A good friend, good guy. But the sad part about it is when you stop and look at it, you know, caffeine does a good job for you as far as green tea extract. It actually helps to reduce the risk of certain types of diseases and cancer. That's what green tea does. But you don't need it at night. I remember I used to go with Howard. Howard was like my mentor. He's like my surrogate dad.
Yeah.
You know, I met him in my mom's bar when I was like 11 years old. He was a chemist. He used to work for American Siami. And I remember he was a very interesting guy, and he drank coffee all the time. So we used to go out to Sambo's. There's a racist restaurant for you.
Sambo's.
It was terrible. And it went out of business. But what the funny thing about it is that, you know, we'd sit around and drink coffee until 11 o'clock at night.
Yeah.
You know, and he was great. I loved talking to him. Well, then I'd go home, and I could drink 6 cups of coffee and go to bed and sleep because my adrenals were so shot. And finally, I kept drinking all that coffee all the way through graduate school. And when I was 27 years old, you know, basically I came down with pericarditis and almost died from it, from all the caffeine. I was 18 cups of coffee a day, and you think, oh, I'm there. Okay, let me explain something to you about this. Here's my personality. I get it done. It doesn't matter what it takes. I get it done. It doesn't matter if I've got to work 100-hour work weeks. I get it done. And so what happens that with that mindset that I have, what ends up happening is I get focused on stuff and I just get it done. So I was ignoring my health and drinking all this coffee, and then I got my teeth cleaned, right? And I had blood get into my, you know, bacteria into my bloodstream. I ended up with pericarditis. I'm like, what the heck just happened to me? So I had to wean myself off the 18 cups a day. I just came off a cup a day, 17, 16, 15. Oh, my gosh, did I have headaches when I got to the bottom end of that.
Oh, yeah.
And you know, but I got off the coffee. And now every once in a while, I'll have a cup of coffee, but it makes me really agitated and really irritable now because it elevates my cortisol. And I always told the kids, you know, you won't like me on coffee. And they said, don't let them, should they tell Sharon, don't let daddy drink coffee. Remember that?
Well,
the purple sticks don't do that.
They don't do that. And that was one of the issues I ran into in my early 20s is I didn't stop, and I was pushing it, and I was also working, you know, building the company back up and getting ready for a bodybuilding show, had my first son, Hunter, and I was notorious for running pre-workouts late at night. I'd go train later on the day after I'd finished stuff at the office. I'd be in the gym at 7, 8, 9 o'clock at night, and I was running pre-workout, and I was running all during the day, and I was running an enormous amount of stimulants, and I ended up getting pericarditis when I was 26. And pericarditis
is... Were you 26 or 27?
26.
Oh, so you beat me by one year.
Hoorah on that one. Don't recommend it. 0 out of 10, not recommended. Pericarditis is horrible. Yeah. And what happens
is that's not a joke.
The pericardial sac around the heart gets inflamed. And so what happens is it's very, very difficult for it to pump blood. And so, yeah, just stay away from heavy, heavy caffeine usage. It's not good.
We're already getting comments on the video we played.
No.
I mean, we're getting texts in already.
Oh, I know. I hear them.
I hear the pinging.
I hear it doesn't
matter how many times I hear, please don't text us during the show.
It doesn't stop.
But it's true, though. I mean, if you think about it, you know, if you look at your health is your most important asset, isn't it? I'm asking the question now. What's your most important asset? It's your health. You know, that's why God gave us directions in his word on what to eat and what not to eat. He said, if you do what I'm telling you to do, you're going to live long and you're going to prosper. If you don't, you're going to get sick and you're going to die. It says that in Deuteronomy. And then he says, so I'm giving you a choice today. You can choose life or you can choose death. You pick which one you want. That's the freedom of will he gave us. You pick life, you pick death, you choose, you pick. And it's true. And that's what we do on this show. We say, look, you can be great. You can feel great. You have tremendous energy, or you can basically be sick and you die, I guess. I guess I can't really say that because it's kind of mean. But the point is, a lot of people, I guess I did say it, didn't I? But the point
is the truth.
But it's the truth. I mean, if you're gonna smoke 5 packs of cigarettes a day and drink 3 quarts of Jack Daniels.
And go eat pork sausage all day.
And drink diet sodas.
Drink diet sodas, yeah.
Well, that's what happened to Howard.
Sodium nitrite.
Soda. Howard used to drink ham sandwiches all the time with sodium nitrite. And then he used to basically hammer it with aspartame. And then
and then
when you do that, it forms dichediopeperazine in the blood that degrades the form of nitrosuria, and that causes brain tumors. He ended up with a malignant glial tumor, and then that metastasized and went into his lungs. That's how he died. Horrible death.
If you have to have a soda, if you just absolutely are bent on having one, it's something you got to just scratch that itch, try to get the ones that have cane sugar in them. They still exist. They're hard to find. They still exist.
Almost impossible to find.
I told you there was a... arcade, they had some of the ones. The Coca-Cola's from Mexico, the glass bottle, the cane sugar. And I split.
They're all out of Mexico from now on.
They are, ironically. And I split one with the kids and immediately got a headache, messed my blood sugar up. Tasted great. Not gonna lie. Tasted great. Drink about a quarter of it.
That much.
Said it's too sweet. If you got to scratch that itch, do that. Virgil's makes a good root beer, I think, too.
Yeah, but I think they use NutraSweet.
Sugar.
No, I think it's NutraSweet.
Do they?
I don't know. We used to get that for the kids when they were younger.
I don't eat with soda.
But we don't really drink sodas. In fact, I finally realized, and I told Sharon, I said, you know, we're giving them these Virgil's all the time. It's just kind of conditioning them to drink soda.
Yeah.
So what's the point?
Yes, yeah, so save it for a special occasion if you want to do it for something.
One of my kids, they would do this. Every time Sharon and I would go to lunch or go do something, they'd look at the other kids and go, you know the drill. And they'd get up and get the Virgils out, get a glass of ice.
Oh, yeah.
And then turn the TV on. Go, oh, we're going to break protocol all here today. Remember that? What's your next story?
Well, there's a new COVID variant out now. Razor throat. Dun, dun, dun.
Razor throat.
I'm not joking. They're saying now everybody needs...
Gone for like 36 to 48 hours.
Oh, yeah. They're gone for days.
You know, in the air, and then just refueling them. And they would run all the way up to Alaska, from Florida. No big deal because they were getting close to Russia airspace. Yep. That's why they would do it. And they would constantly train and practice like yep. that. And we're talking technology from planes that are 70, 80 years old now,
Well, one of my buddies, my cousin, he's a C-130 mechanic. There he flies on the C-130s. And he said, it's nothing for them to be up in the air 15, 16, 17, 18 hours. Flying around, back and forth, doing stuff. It's not abnormal.
Well, here's the thing. Let's do some airplane stuff real quick. If a C-130 is flying at 40,000 feet, okay, because they're prop planes, some of them are jet planes, and so they have the ability to get pretty high.
I think all the C-130s are props.
I'm not sure.
Big props.
But some of them, they've got some similar ones that are jets.
If you see those C-130s in person.
Oh, they're great. They're huge.
Cool. They carry anything.
But they use the props a lot of times, and it helps them get off the runways or short takeoff fields. But the reality is, let's say they're flying at 40,000 feet, regardless, right? And so it takes a lot to come down from that height. I would come in from North Carolina at 12,000 feet. I get to the Florida line, and I would start going down because, I was going to be home in less than 45 minutes.
My favorite's the Hercules.
Oh, yeah.
That's the 130 gunship. That's the big boy.
Yeah.
Big old monsters.
Cannons hanging outside.
Oh, yeah. The C-130 gunship.
They call it Puff the Magic Dragon.
Those things are serious.
But anyhow, you get one at altitude. It may take you 20, 30, 40 minutes to get to altitude. Right. And then you got to come down 20, 30, 40 minutes. And then you got to land. And when they land, they are vulnerable, Austin, to missile attacks and gun attacks, all the rest.
They're not very nimble.
And so what happens is they keep them up in the air. They keep them up because they saves the time as far as fuel up and down, and it makes them not as vulnerable. Because, that B-2 came in at, 50, 60,000 feet or whatever the heck the element is at. And so it came in so quick. And remember, it's stealth. It's a stealth plane. And so it comes in, stealth, does what it does, and leaves. I mean, but that's old technology. We have space-based weapon systems. We talked about that earlier in the show. And we have other types of technology with anti-gravity technology that we retro-engineered from Roswell. Read the book, The Day After Roswell by Colonel Corso. And he talks about how we developed night vision goggles, closed circuitry, all the different types of things from the 47 crash of Roswell. Goes into detail about it. And, so it's pretty true like that. Cause you think about it before Roswell, we had airplanes that basically, you had real wires that attached to, the columns to the rudders and to the ailerons. And now we don't have any of that. We have electric motors that are attached and basically you're flying by electronics. You don't really have the ability to fly the plane if all the electronics go out. It doesn't work. So, but the technology is so advanced now. What's always interesting to me though?
What is that?
Some of you guys are going to like this. They never taught us in pilot school.
Oh gosh, here we go.
Here we go. Get ready. I'm throwing a bone to some of my friends. They never taught us in pilot school to compensate for Earth curvature. What's your next story, Austin?
B-2 has a ceiling of 60,000 feet.
Told you.
Can I do operational missiles, operational attacks at 50,000 feet?
So what it did, it went 60,000 feet over.
60,000 feet.
Well, the reason they fly it that high is it burns a lot less fuel because the air is a lot thinner.
Sick plane.
Oh, yeah.
Absolute sick plane.
Looks like a UFO.
Absolutely sick. 60,000 foot ceiling.
Don't you remember when Tom Cruise...
You won't even know that thing drops anything on you.
No. You won't even see it. No. But you know what's funny with this is that, when you watch that one movie, Maverick, with Tom Cruise?
Yeah.
He gets into that one plane at the beginning for Skunk Works.
Skunk Works,
and
yeah.
I think they told him he was cleared to 660, which is 60,000 feet. And above that, you're outside of the control of air traffic control. Do you know that, Austin?
Yeah.
So if you're flying over 60,000 feet like this thing is going to do, they don't have to clear it with anybody or anything because it's so high, nothing else is up there, period. And so, but I love that movie, the beginning, he's flying around that plane.
You don't even see it. It's going to drop a bomb on your head. You're not even going to know it's there.
Well, it's stealth, number one.
Yeah.
It's going to look like a gnat in the sky. It's going to be so tiny.
I don't think if you see it at 60,000 feet.
Probably not.
The way that thing's shaped.
That's like 12 miles up, 12 yeah. miles away. You're not going to see it.
See anything.
Yeah, and so all of a sudden, you see
a smile, a flash.
It looks like they dropped something.
It's getting closer.
Oh, yeah, but our technology is amazing. Go ahead. What's your next story?
I know it is. Now, there's another story, too, I want to cover here. This is wild. I talked to one of my friends that were wanting to go to France, and they said France. They went there, and they went, and they said France is no longer France. France authorities had to detain 12 suspects after 145 people were stuck with syringes during the Fête de l'Alamosque, the World Music Day celebration. 145 people were stuck with syringes. This wasn't consensual. There's people running around with dirty needles stabbing everybody at this music festival now. And they said that France is becoming a giant nightmare. 145 people had to be treated.
Well, yeah, remember, it's a communist country. It's communist.
Socialism. It's been taken over.
Yeah, and no, I remember about 10 years ago, Savannah wanted to go there.
Yeah.
I think it was in 2017.
What about these movies?
Yeah.
They see the Eiffel Tower.
Oh, yeah.
They have the
Breakfast at Tiffany's.
Everybody sees it, and then you go there, and you're like, all you do is a bunch of migrants sleeping on mattresses all over the place, sticking needles and trying to stab you and rob you the whole time.
I told you, they dropped us off. The taxi did it at one of the cathedrals, the churches on top of the mountain there, overlooking Paris. And he wouldn't even wait for us.
He dropped you off.
He goes, I'm not staying here. And boom, he's gone. And so we get out, right? And it's like a 4 or 5 mile walk back to the hotel. And there are no taxis, Austin. None. And
none.
And this is
like forbidden.
We don't go there. Uber wasn't running back then there. And I told Sharon, I said, well, I guess we're walking. And so we had Savannah with us. And, we're walking down the steep stairway. Well, and finally we get to the city center down there, and it's like all Muslim.
Yeah.
Now, don't get me wrong. I mean, I don't have a bone to pick with Muslims, but this is pretty weird. They're on mattresses of the median. And I'm like, this is odd.
Weird.
And then finally, some taxi driver pulls up to us. He goes, here she is, blonde hair, blue eyes. I think she's
obviously an American.
She always liked to run around with this pink jumpsuit. And, so she stood out like a neon. I asked her, why do you wear this pink jumpsuit everywhere? She says, I want to make sure you can find me. She says, to protect me. Remember that? I said, I see it.
Like, I'll get lost.
You're like a neon light bulb.
Everybody else sees you, too.
Oh, yeah. One time she had some Muslims say something to her when she's walking by herself, and I was looking at something else. I had to walk over and explain to them to leave my wife alone, which is kind of weird.
Did they pull out a syringe and try to stab you?
That was in Dresden. No, they didn't pull out a syringe.
I'm joking.
But the crazy part, that was in Dresden, Germany. But the crazy part about it is that the taxi driver says, "What are you doing here?" Speaking English. Well, I said, "We can't get a taxi. Get in. It's not safe." Now think about that. And then the Parisians, the people who live in Paris, I
think they hate everybody. Now.
They suck. Well, excuse my language. They suck.
They're mad at their cities just gotten deformed.
I met one guy one time who was a concierge in a hotel who was nice, and everybody else in Paris was awful. They actually sent us to the wrong airport one time,
purpose.
On purpose.
Yeah.
So we'd miss our flight. I kid you not. I mean, they're horrible people there. So anybody wants to go to Paris, just don't.
That's why I cover that story. This is also another health story. This is something. This is why I continually give you guys heads up on making sure you monitor what your children are exposed to, what they watch. If they have iPads, iPhones, which they probably shouldn't have at a young age, it says the more ads for unhealthy food kids see, the more junk food they eat. And a one-of-a-kind, first-off-published study in Obesity Reviews shows that food and beverage companies undermine eating habits of young people by deploying ads that encourage poor dietary choices, leading to obesity, diabetes, and other diet-related diseases.
Yeah.
Imagine that.
I've got a friend of mine who's got a really good kid. He's like 10, 11 years old. But her ex-husband or he basically gets custody half the time.
Yeah.
And the husband's extremely obese. And so every time the kid goes to the obese husband's house, it gets junk. He gets junk food. And so he's getting fat. And the ex-wife doesn't know what to do. She says, I don't know how to make him, be concerned about his health and what he's doing to his child. And I'm going to say this to you guys real quick. If that's a problem that you have, that you're feeding your kids junk food all the time and they're getting obese, shame on you. I'm sorry. I'm going to fuss at you for a second. You got to stop that. It's not fair to that kid. You realize what that's going to do to their self-esteem? Don't do that to them. Let them
fight that weight the rest of their life.
And they're right. All that weight has to get fought. And then they want to eat all the junk all the time. Every time you go to the grocery store, all they want to do is pick the garbage up they saw on TV. And we saw that when we were kids back in the 60s.
I saw it on TV with the, you know, tricks and all the different stuff. And it says here, listen to this, it says social media influencer marketing on platforms like TikTok and Instagram is a growing tactic to promote healthy, to promote unhealthy foods to teens. Ads appear peer-to-peer content, making them harder to recognize as advertising, while social media channels continuously evolve. Studies show frequent exposure is linked to stronger preferences for high-calorie, low-nutrient foods and more positive views of unhealthy brands.
Wow.
So now they're doing it subliminally now. It's not just a TV commercial. Now they're having influencers promote products subliminally, and the kids don't even realize they're gravitating towards these food items. They're causing a lot of issues. It says more than 90% of studies found that exposure to junk food advertising boosts intake, especially sugary drinks and energy-dense snacks.
Yeah, you know what's interesting? Subliminal advertising was banned back in the 50s and 60s because what they would do, they would take the video reel and they would put a couple of, because it's moving so fast through the camera, you couldn't see the individual squares, and they would put some pictures of Coca-Cola and other things in there, and they'd play it in the movie theater while they're doing the previews, and people suddenly, they show a picture of a desert, then they show a picture of Coca-Cola,
right,
and somebody, thirsty. Oh, I'm thirsty. I got
the bottle sweating.
Yeah, and all of a sudden you jump up and you run, I gotta have a soda.
Coca-Cola,
okay,
yeah.
And it was so effective they banned it, but they still do it. And now what they're saying with the social media influencers, they basically have it sitting on the counter behind them.
Oh yeah,
you know, and so all of a sudden you don't even realize it's happening, but your brain sees it and it picks it up subconsciously.
I've seen a lot of it when they'll do podcasts,
oh, yeah.
And also in the middle of the podcast, they go and they crack a bottle of Coca-Cola or Pepsi or soda.
I'll
tell you, I'll drink it throughout the show.
Right here, we show you. We do. We show you here. Oh, by the way, Germany and Italy are pressed to bring home $245 billion of gold from the U.S. because they're scared that Donald Trump is going to start messing with the Federal Reserve Bank here in the United States and make them lose their independence. Yeah, well, let me ask you a question. How's he going to do that? They're outside of the law anyhow.
I wish he would mess with the Federal Reserve.
You know.
I still want to know what happened to the gold audit in Fort Knox.
He says,
Elon Musk talked about.
We are very concerned about Trump tampering with the Federal Reserve Bank's independence. Michael Yeager, the TAE's president, told the Financial Times, "Our recommendation is to bring the German and Italian gold home to ensure European central banks have unlimited control over it at any given point. They should have never sent it here to start with. You guys should have kept control of it." Period. Chances are it's not here anyhow.
I was about to say, what gold?
Chavez
try to get his gold?
Oh, Chavez died of cancer right after.
Right after?
And you know what's interesting about that? You know, I talked to a guy years ago. He basically has passed away. And he said that he felt as though gold was being used in an interdimensional interface as far as with the spaceships that were able to go into wormholes.
Like fuel, as
something because it's so pure. And now, whether that's true or not, I don't know. He's speculating. He said a lot of stuff that I didn't agree with, but some stuff was pretty good. So I don't know if the gold is even available anymore, if it's even here or if it's off planet.
I know it's gotten expensive.
Yeah, it's gotten really expensive. You know, it says ahead of Italian Prime Minister Giorgio Meloni's trip to Washington to meet Trump in April, economic commentator Eric Grazzini wrote in a newspaper, he said, leaving 43% of Italy's gold reserves in America under the unreliable Trump administration is very dangerous for the national interest. A survey of more than 70 global central banks this week showed that we are, by the way, all Rothschild controlled.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. This week showed more that the more we're thinking they're storing their gold domestically, concerns about their ability to access their bullion in the event of a crisis. I mean, think about it for a second. I'm going to keep my gold in your country so it'll be safe. That's kind
bold.
Of,
it's a bold move,
stupid,
Turbo.
Stupid is what it is. I mean, why in the world they do it? And, you know, I guess the only place you could really keep it if you really wanted to, that would be Switzerland because they're neutral.
Nobody messes with Switzerland.
That's why everybody has machine guns in their home, by the way, in Switzerland.
Yeah.
They do. They have machine guns. And they have mountain passes they can close off at will. You know,
they still have the old bunkers there. The old operational bunkers.
Oh, yeah. So, you know,
nobody messes with Switzerland. Nobody really does.
Well, that's because the central bankers keep their gold there, too.
No, everybody leaves their gold there, so nobody wants to mess with it.
So, anyhow, so they're worried about Donald Trump changing the Federal Reserve Bank. You know what? That's been going on for over 100 years now. You know, that thing is so entrenched now that if they did get rid of the Federal Reserve Bank, we would have the biggest depression.
Oh, classic.
The whole economy would collapse.
And they'd do it to prove a point.
Oh, yeah. And then they would sit there and go, we told you this would happen.
We told you exactly.
And then they would would go back and say, okay, you go ahead and start up the system again. See, the banking system runs on fractional reserve currency. It's so corrupt, it's unbelievable.
40 to 1.
So if you've got $1 million in the bank, you can give the loans out for $40 million. How do you even do that, Austin?
That's called a Ponzi scheme to us mere mortal civilians.
I mean, I've got $1 million in the bank, so I'm going to loan you $40 million.
Yeah. And I'm going to charge you 6% interest on the $40 million.
No, let's make it 7.2%, so it doubles itself every, you know, every 10 years, I guess. 7.2, yeah, rule 72. But the whole thing about it is, you think about it. Oh, by the way, retired general, you know, talks about the retired general Jack Kincaid shares reason Hezbollah has not fired a shot to defend Iran. I'm going to say this. I'm going to kind of.
That's why.
No, I'm going to. Actually, that could be why, but the reality is it's probably not why. A lot of people say that Hezbollah is CIA Mossad controlled.
Oh, I can't believe
I went there.
Oh,
I mean, I didn't even go there yesterday with Dave.
Did you just step on those toes?
Oh, my gosh. I mean, how did they get the new Jeeps, Austin?
I'll tell you a quick story.
How did they get the,
one of my best friends, retired Army Ranger, airborne. When he retired, reason why he retired, when he was over in the Middle East, I think it's like 12th tour, and he was overwatch for Rangers multiple times, and he said they were doing continual weapon transfers to the moderate rebels in the Middle East, right?
Hezbollah.
So C-130 was coming, and they had pallets, grenades, machine guns, surface air missiles, all kinds of wild stuff, and they'd hand them to the moderate rebels to fight Al-Qaeda. That was one of the main jobs over there. And he said the same groups they were handing the surface air missiles to and the pallets of grenades were the same ones that got the brand new Toyotas from the CIA when he got back home and he watched it on television. And he said, I'm done. I'm not going to do this anymore. And so.
Well, you got to have a boogeyman. You got to have a boogeyman. They got to be willing to come over here and kill all the Americans.
Right.
Now, the problem that you get into is that you do have sleeper cells coming into the United States.
That is a serious problem.
Okay. And these sleeper cells, sometimes they're jihadists.
Yeah.
Now, in other words,
they hate everybody.
They really hate Americans because to us, they
hate everybody.
They call us the great Satan.
They hate everybody. If you have the ability, the mental capacity to slap on C4 on your chest to go blow somebody up because you hate them so bad, you generally just hate everyone.
Well, you got to remember that a lot of these people are Somalians, and these people basically have like 60 IQs, and they tell them that you're going to get yourself, you know, 60 virgins as soon as you blow up.
And you live in a mud hut.
Yeah, my response would be, and I think I'll just let you keep your vest. You strap it on yourself. It's nuts.
You have intellectual reasoning skills.
Yeah, well, but your 60 IQs, you don't have any reasoning skills. And so that is
something. I talked to a few of my friends over the weekend. You know, and everybody stays armed. We all carry. We all got guns in here. And we keep guns on the set.
Yeah.
I have a rifle right behind the doggone camera over there in the other room. And
you're a scary man, Austin.
I'm not a scary man. I just like to be a prepared man. And the thing about it is you have to have the ability to defend your friends, your family, or your country at any point in time. If you got to figure out where your weapons are, if you got to figure out what's loaded, if you got to try to figure out where everything's located, that's not a very good position to be in.
Oh, by the way, here's an article that I never heard of before.
Let's hear it.
Dirty habit. Dirty habit. Followed by 18 million Americans. Doubles the risk of sudden heart disease death.
Let's hear it.
Smoking pot.
Ah,
I didn't know that.
Cardiovascular issues.
People use marijuana are putting themselves at twice the risk of having a heart attack, stroke, or dying from heart disease. Twice.
What do they say is contributing to that?
We're going to read it. University of California research reviewed 24 studies involving 200 million people. 200
Golly.
Million people. Wow. To investigate the relationship between weed and cardiovascular disease and stroke. They found there was a 29% greater risk of stroke or heart disease, 20% higher risk for a stroke, and double the risk of dying from cardiovascular disease, which includes coronary artery disease, heart failure, and irregular heartbeats. Cardiovascular disease is America's number one killer. Because of its harmful side effects, researchers are calling on regulators to treat marijuana like tobacco, not criminalized, but highly discouraged, and raise awareness of the risk to people who are exposed to marijuana smoke secondhand. Now, I thought this was a very, very interesting concept, what they're saying in here. It says laws in the remaining states are mixed as far as the use of marijuana. And it goes, and it says the researchers also didn't specify if the marijuana exposure was from smoking the drug or other forms of consumption.
That's what I was about to say.
It says, however, a similar journal study in a JAMA Cardiology last month found that people who smoked marijuana or who had edibles three times a week had damage to their blood vessels, which are vital for delivering oxygen and nutrients from the heart to every organ of the body. This affects the blood vessel's ability to dilate, increasing the risk of arterial plaque, heart attacks, and strokes. They said that marijuana smokers had a 42% reduction in vascular function. Now, that's strange, isn't it?
I don't know what would cause that. I have to see more research on it, because I know guys that had PTSD that came back over, and they've used the THC oils and the edibles and had good results and been able to stay off like Xanax and stuff. And so, I mean, if that's the case, I will always recommend somebody using weed over Xanax.
Oh, yeah.
Always. Period. Xanax. All the time. But I don't know why they're saying it's that significant.
Well, it says they added that these changes in how they affect cardiovascular disease requires clarification and further research.
Yeah. Now, it could be diet, too.
Oh, we're out of time. My gosh. We're done. I ran long. Hey,
we're talking about
God loves you. Jesus loves you. Thanks for getting the multiple.
On sale, my friends. Product of the week. 16% off. Emails, calls if you need anything. I appreciate you guys.
You guys are
Team
the best.
Health Masters.
Thanks again for your support.
Thank you. Wow.